Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Nathan Totten, and today I'm joined by Abhishek, who's been, I think you've been on the show twice now or three times?
No, once before.
Just once? Okay,
yes.
I thought you were on two times. No?
No.
Were you on with Wade before or no?
No, I did not actually. That was Clemens from our team.
Okay. I'd sworn you've been a regular guest. I guess not. So.
Starting today.
Yes, now you're a regular guest. So you're going to talk about Service Bus, of course, some of the new features, which we'll get into in the segment. But before we do that, let's go ahead and cover the news. We had Build, which a lot of great releases. Right. That was 2 weeks ago, I guess.
A ton of stuff came out at Build.
Yeah, so we've got SDK 1.8. A whole bunch of, I guess the first news article we have is just a general what's new with Windows 8. So big one was Windows Server 2012 and .NET 4.5. So .NET 4.5, which I've talked about and I blogged about before, was available about 3 weeks ago on Windows Azure websites. Now Windows Server 2012 with .NET 4.5 is available on cloud services. And then of course virtual machines also, that's been for a little while actually. And then we'll talk about more about this one in a bit. Then the Windows Azure Store also, actually, that's the next, what else? Oh, new SDK, yeah, so a whole bunch of stuff in here. New SDK 1.8, which you'll be going into some of the new features for Service Bus, but of course new features with new tooling updates in Visual Studio, the Blob, the Storage Explorer has improved, right. A new storage library
2.0,
which is not confusing at all. It's SDK 1.8 with client library, storage client library 2.0. So definitely, but a lot of good stuff. I know we had, I think we talked about that a little bit, I don't know, a little while ago. Also some good Build sessions we can link to on that as well. But yeah, some cool new stuff there. Let's see, what else? Caching general availability.
Right.
So that can be used in production now. And and then TFS services, Team Foundation services, is it GA or? Yeah, I guess it's, I don't know, they're not calling it GA, but it's ready now. It's out of preview, tfs.visualstudio.com. And I think that you get, what is it, five users? For free forever.
Correct.
Yeah. So small teams can use it for free forever.
Right, and it's got all the linking of being able to build, deploy, all with your automated tasks. So it really helps the agile lifecycle for projects.
Cool. So the next bit of news, mobile services. So this was covered a little bit in the blog post, but we've also got a full blog post on this. So the mobile services team has shipped another SDK. They've first provided the Windows 8 SDK for mobile services. Now they've shipped a Windows Phone SDK. Additionally, did they ship the iOS SDK yet? Oh, yeah. Windows Adjoint. Yeah. iOS is the third supported. Oh yeah, that's right. We didn't talk too much about that at Build, obviously, since it was a Windows and Windows Phone event. But we also shipped the iOS SDK as well. So now we have three supported platforms. Android is coming soon, and we'll keep adding to that list. Really some cool things with mobile services. But what is this? Let's see. Oh, the store, of course. So we mentioned that a little bit. So I think this is probably, I don't know, this is probably the biggest thing that we announced at Build a couple weeks ago. So now we have the Windows Azure Store. Basically, this is a store where you can consume third-party services, integrated billing. So we have a couple launch partners with this, Mongo Lab, SendGrid, Neudesic, right?
A couple of Bing APIs.
Bing APIs, a few more. There's like five or six, I think. But basically, you can now sign up for these services and use these services all from the Windows Azure portal. So not only is it easier to sign up for them, but again, integrated billing and integrated management experience. So really great. And yeah, actually, yeah, let's look at the store real quick.
You access it using this.
Add-ons, yes.
Add-ons. And then I can do new. Store. These are all the services which I see.
Oh yeah, ClearDB is in there. Which ClearDB we've had available for a while through Windows Azure websites, but now you can actually create a database outside of Windows Azure websites, and also this will enable you to use larger than just, I think they had like a free 10 megabyte one they gave you with websites. Wow. So now you can get the larger ones. MongoLab, New Relic, or sorry, did I? I think I said Neudesic earlier. I meant New Relic.
New Relic.
Who's Neudesic? Yeah. New Relic, New Relic, SendGrid. Okay, there's actually more. This is more than when we even launched.
So. Weather data too.
Very exciting weather data. So
imagine the possibilities.
Imagine the endless address checks. So yeah, some really great things. And yeah, it's divided, as you'll notice, into app services and data. So this sort of supersedes the data marketplace. And so you can now we had the data marketplace where you could use some of these services. So now some of those are starting to move over into the store. But then on top of it, we have the services layer. So this sort of like the Mongo Lab, the storage thing. So expect to see we're going to keep adding to that. So really great. I think one of the most exciting things for Windows Azure in a while. So, and the last thing, this is a pretty big announcement too. So increased scalability targets for Windows Azure storage for tables, blobs, and queues. I think a few of the numbers are, what is it? It's we've basically built out a whole new infrastructure. So any storage account created after, I think, June 7th is in basically our new storage infrastructure and gets these new scalability targets. Right. New capacity up to 200 terabytes, which I think is double from what it was before.
Correct. From 200 terabytes is twice.
Twice. Right. And then the number of transactions per second is now, instead of 5,000, it's 20,000, I think.
Correct.
So yeah, big. I mean, these are some not just small improvements. These are
we've
doubled, quadrupled various things. So increased bandwidth, increased transactions, increased capacity, all kinds of stuff. So huge, I think, awesome improvements. Definitely, great to see.
And Brad's post has lots of details about all how to access these different functionality, how the different features show up. So do take a look.
Yep. Cool. So that's the news. I think there's a bunch more stuff, but I don't want to spend all day on the news since we've got some exciting Service Bus things to talk about. So with that, why don't you tell us about what your team has been working on and what's new in the Windows Azure Service Bus?
Absolutely. So Service Bus folks have been busy, and this fall has been a rolling release for us, one after the other. It started off right in early October with the management portal. So now we were till now in the Silverlight, the legacy portal, and now we're in the HTML portal. And not only did we just port the functionality, we really, really have gone deep in terms of making sure all the telemetry and monitoring which you need for your service and to run your service is all available for you. So I'll walk through that a little bit.
Cool.
Service Bus 1.0 for Windows Server. So this is your cloud and on-premise symmetry promise. And one of the first releases we have for that is our on-premise version of Service Bus.
So now you can download and install Service Bus right on your Windows Server. Is that Windows Server 2012 or Windows Server 2008?
We support both.
Both?
You can get 2008 R2 SP1.
Cool.
Or you can get Windows Server 2012 and install Service Bus on your own. So now you can have federation scenarios. We'll walk through a little bit of those today. AMQP 1.0. AMQP is a standards effort which we've been working with a lot of industry folks with, and there are a lot of partners here, and OS is formally announced AMQP 1.0 as a standard the week of build.
Cool.
So that was a big announcement there. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Cool.
And then SDK 1.8. So you already mentioned, lots of new features have gone out. I want to drill a little deep into what is available for Service Bus.
Perfect.
In those features. So without much ado, let's switch to the portal. And this works best as seeing what it really is. So I'll jump in. You can see the Service Bus node shows up on your left-hand side along with all your other services. The quick create experience is really, really key. You can go to app services, do a quick create of a queue, and provide a queue name, as well as choose which subscription you want to create it in, as well as a namespace. So here you can see I've chosen South Central US, which puts me a subscription and a namespace for that already. And I hit OK, and there it goes off and running, goes and creates my queue for me. So a really, really easy way to get started. Go try out the features. And if you have, more advanced user scenarios where you actually do want to do a custom create and specify more values, then that is available to you here too. So notice if I go to the custom create option, I get the same basic choices, but now I get to specify a bunch of advanced things too. For example, I want my queue size to be up to 5 GB, so I can go change that value.
Cool.
I can update the default message time to live. Whether I use dead lettered queues or not, I can select that value, as well as enable duplicate detection and sessions.
Cool.
So some very advanced messaging features.
This stuff wasn't even available in the old portal, correct?
No.
Before you had to do all this programmatically, and now you've moved that all into the portal.
Absolutely, absolutely. The platform team on ServiceBus has done a terrific job of really drilling through all the DevOps kind of scenarios and making sure that all the things which they wanted to accomplish, which includes tuning some of the queues which they create, are available through the portal.
Cool.
Now, the programmatic API still remains. All of that is still available, but here's an additional way to go do that. Once I'm within a particular queue, you can go and see some interesting data. So here I have just a basic dashboard. You can see incoming messages, what has the length of the queue been, how many outgoing messages, as well as the size.
Great.
So really some rich, good monitoring of what's going on.
And this is the same dashboard we're familiar with websites, with storage, with everything. So now, I mean, as we bring more and more stuff into the new portal, you can get that overview in every service, which I really like.
Absolutely, and it fits right in, because all the gestures which you're used to, which is about selecting how long you view the data for, whether it's relative or absolute, everything applies.
Cool.
It's just that there's lots of service bus data now available here. You can also inspect your queue, and also do a very common operation, which is just get the connection string. So you just copy the connection string over, drop it into your application, and you go off and running. So I want to show you a little bit more in terms of the other entities we have. So for topics, topics is when you want to do one-to-many messaging and you want a single message to go to many subscribers. So here, when you go to the topic dashboard, you again see some of the same things in terms of the incoming message counts, as well as the size in terms of the topic. The other thing which you can do is actually go and see data about its subscriptions. So how many subscriptions do you have? What is their delivery counts? Whether they are session enabled and all of those things.
Cool.
A very, very good debugging property here, which we'll drill into a little more, is the last updated time. So now you can see when was the last time this subscription pulled a message.
Mm.
So you can find out, hey, one of my subscribers down, he's not getting any messages if the last updated time is not being refreshed. So some of the features. There's a lot more in terms of the portal. You can go try it out, create scenarios, update scenarios, advanced scenarios. Like, for example, if you're doing a multi-tenant system where each topic is for a customer and one customer stops paying and you want to stop that tenant, stop receiving messages, you have a disable gesture where you can just go disable that topic.
Cool.
So do play around with it. Lots of interesting scenarios available there. So that was the portal. The next release I want to talk about is our on-premise, the ServiceBus 1.0 release. So we definitely heard from customers how they want to build messaging applications, which can sometimes not leave the premise, like the data cannot leave the premise, or they might have deployments where local latency or local data size requirements and throughput requirements really require a broker to be on-premise. So we've provided service bus queues, topics, and subscriptions as an on-premise offering. This really enables four key scenarios. If you're doing enterprise messaging, where somehow you don't want to move to the cloud yet, that's now enabled. Dual delivery, a key scenario for ISVs. I have one customer who just wants a cloud service. I have another customer who actually wants to run the service on-premise.
Hmm.
Now you can write single piece of code and just change your configuration and work in both environments.
So do you share the assembly is what, Windows Azure dot ServiceBus, right?
So it's Microsoft.ServiceBus.dll, a single client assembly in SDK 1.8, which you will write against your server as well as the service, single client OM. Local development and testing. So sometimes people want to develop locally, make sure the application works, test it locally, and then just go deploy in the cloud. So that is a scenario where you can now have service bus just on your dev box up and running. And then finally, federated. This is the true promise of the internet service bus, where You can have very rich messaging topologies where you're just sending messages, and based on their routing properties, they could be going on-premise or be federated into the cloud, where they could be pulled down by other on-premise systems and things like that.
Cool.
So those are now possible in there. Installation is super simple, completely integrated with WebPI. So if you have a Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 or you have a Server 2012 box, if you want the dev scenario, you can go with 64-bit Windows 7 or Windows 8. Go to WebPI, pick Service Bus 1.0, hit install.
Cool.
As simple as that. It does use SQL Server on the back end, and again, two versions of SQL Server are supported for that. The symmetric service and server development is really the thing to highlight, which we spoke about, where you have a single client SDK and only connection strings vary between your two deployments.
Cool.
So do go give that a try. AMQP, another very, very exciting topic to talk about. At Build, we announced AMQP 1.0 preview in Service Bus, which included an updated client library to which talks the AMQP protocol. But the key part here is because it's an open protocol, you have a whole range of client libraries, which now you can go and use. I've got links here to a lot of the other ones, PHP, Java, JMS, Python, Ruby, C. There are libraries in all languages and standard libraries.
Cool.
Which now you can go talk against the service because they're all speaking the same protocol.
So is there any, so for I do a lot of node development, so I assume there's an AMQP module for node.
Right.
But we also support the native sort of Service Bus protocol in node. Are there differences? I mean, can I use on some clients AMQP and then on other clients use the Service Bus library? Are there differences in functionality, or how does that work?
No, absolutely. That's a great question, Nathan. Different protocols have different kind of requirements in terms of the processing overhead, or you could say the throughput and efficiency which they give you. AMQP is a very, very good, high-performant native protocol. So when you have applications in which you will see that you have very high connectivity and sort of very connected experiences, you'd want to use the AMQP based libraries. Now, the other one which you talked about is we have a native HTTP API surface, and today our node module uses that particular one. And that will continue to function. And you can think of those as occasionally connected scenarios, or when you just want to send one message, or when you want to receive a message and process it kind of thing, versus doing a very high volume of messages.
Okay.
Now, in a lot of your scenarios, the protocol won't matter. Just use the API which you want. Most of the time, it would suffice your needs.
Okay.
But inherently, you do have to see that because of the protocol and the sort of the efficiency characteristics, AMQP will be a much bigger performance improvement for you than what we are able to provide over the HTTP surface.
So if I'm building a new app, and I mean, particularly if I know that I have like a lot of different clients, and I maybe don't even know what all the clients in the future are, I use AMQP just because of it's an open, it has libraries for everything.
Right. Okay. Absolutely.
Can I consume the same queue with both protocol? Like if I use, say, my Windows, say I build a Windows RT device app,
right,
and then have a PHP site, can I use those together, or do I have to use all Service Bus or all AMQP? Ah,
absolutely. Very, very good question. So a protocol does encapsulate a little bit, or at least the client library encapsulate the serialization characteristics of what is going on. Now, AMQP has its own defined serialization.
I see.
So if you choose an AMQP library, you do know that your messages are going to be serialized, or your data, the actual payload, is going to be serialized using the same protocol standard.
I see.
Now, the reason this was done is so that people can actually bring functional end-to-end client libraries by abstracting out even the serialization of that. Now, when you use another library like, say, the HTTP wrappers, or whether you use our .NET thick client library, which uses our own messaging protocol, we do have different serialization choices.
I see.
They're not using this particular standard now, but we have made it easy for you to do that. So, for example, today you can, in your AMQP particular protocol, serialize the data as a string, and then on the back end, then just pull it out as a string, something like that. So you do have to deal with a little bit of these nuances, but as time goes on, we will make this more and more seamless. But if you write an end-to-end application all in AMQP, you're no golden problem. There. Because the protocol covers serialization.
I see. Okay, cool.
The key reasons why we are doing an effort towards AMQP is because today it's very, very difficult to port applications. Mm-hmm. Like if you have a particular vendor today in which you do all your messaging traffic, to move to another vendor means rewriting your entire application. And that is something which we want to get the world out of. The other part is integration. If there are two different companies and they have two different vendors, they can't cross-talk mm-hmm. their applications with each other because they're all using different protocols in cool. there. And finally, it's just a restrictive platform in terms of everyone having their own protocols and messaging APIs. So we really, really want to break that single vendor lock-in.
Great.
By doing open protocols.
All about, just another one of the ways that we're, that we're working to make Windows Azure right. an open
no and
lock-in,
flexible
right. platform. That's right. awesome. Cool. Right.
So just to summarize, AMQP is a open standard messaging protocol, and which offers very, very reliable, flexible, and a broker model independent. In terms of broker independence, in terms of being able to choose your vendor in there. I have a lot more details here. I'll make sure the links are included. We'll point to those later, so do cool. Give it a try.
So just for, I guess, going back before, I guess, if we're going to keep...
Yeah.
Okay, so, is there any reason why I would choose, would I choose Service Bus protocol over, a lot of our viewers probably are starting thinking about building an app. If they're building an app right now, is there a reason why you would say, no, you should just use the Service Bus proprietary library? Or would you just say, if you're starting from scratch right now, use AMQP?
Ah, good. So the way I would call that out is AMQP is in preview now. This is just a standard, just got ratified like 2 weeks ago. We've just started building, so it is in preview. So if you're building applications which are production targeting, I would say start with the full .NET library. You'll also get a full feature set. Our AMQP feature set is not complete. And from our end, we will make sure that the APIs remain the same when we transition into the AMQP protocol.
I see.
So what you'll have is, if you've built your base in terms of using the client libraries, you'll have a very, very easy path into changing the protocol being used underneath in terms of that. But today, you will find differences in terms of what features are available between AMQP and that. And also, the SLA is a little limited because it's still in preview.
Okay.
So as I called out earlier, about first half of next year is when it will be our production
protocol. I see. Cool.
Nice. The next thing I really wanted to quickly show was there was a big update towards the mobile services SDK, which lets you build WinRT Windows Store apps as well as Windows Phone app. One of the things we included in that SDK was a Windows Azure messaging library. So this was what we had talked about in our last cloud cover, where we see a lot of good messaging scenarios mm-hmm. when you're writing store apps. So I'm going to show you how easy we made it in terms of doing that.
Cool.
Here I'm going to try to create a point of sale application, and adding service bus support for me is as easy as going to do add reference. And you will notice, in terms of Windows extensions, I see Windows Azure Messaging Manage Client right here available for me. So I'm going to add that as a reference, and all my APIs are now available here. The other thing I want to call out is, here on the Server Explorer, we've done a ton of enhancements for the Windows Azure Service Bus node, where now you can import your namespaces using the same published settings and import your subscription behavior in Cloud Tools.
Cool.
So I can go right to the portal, download a published settings file, choose my particular subscription, and notice how all my namespaces are now listed here.
Great.
And I have a ton of namespaces. I think most customers will have one or two. But just to make it easy, we also show you which data center they are in, what's the particular state of the database. And stuff.
And
like
this
that.
Is, we've actually done this, this is the same thing we've done for storage also.
Too.
Yeah.
So you all get the same services experience. Have made it very, very easy for you now to go and grab your information from the portal and actually import it into Visual Studio.
Cool.
In fact, if you have manually, you want to enter your credentials, let's say you don't have admin access to that subscription, that's still enabled, you can go here. And then the key thing I want to call out, note we have a tab for Service Bus 1.0 for Windows Server. Mm. So right along with symmetric API and code, now you have symmetric tooling.
Cool.
Where you are able to go get your namespace information from your server, get the right port numbers, or just use the connection string, paste that in there, and you're up and running. So you'll have the exact same experience in tooling, whether you're using the service or the server. Once I drill in into the particular topics and subscriptions, you can see we have a lot of new properties if you're creating a new queue. One of the big changes which we added was if you do a particular queue with some user metadata, we now allow you to go update that queue. So their properties or behavior, if you want to change, it's very, very easy for you now to go and do an update of that particular queue.
Cool.
And that makes it really, really easy. The other properties which you'll see here are exposing some new functionality. There's one I want to call out. I'm going to create a new topic. Call it the default topic. And notice I have a few new properties here. One of them called filter messages before publishing. And this has been a common ask for customers because they'll say, hey, one of my subscribers went away and I kept sending messages and I never found out that the subscriber had deleted their subscription, they never got any messages. And those messages are sort of lost for me because once they're enqueued and there's no subscription, they're gone from there. So now you can say filter messages before publishing, hit save. And what that means is that when we enqueue the message, we'll make sure there is at least one subscriber who can get that message.
Okay.
And if there is no one, you'll see what happens is I'm going to go here and I'm just going to do send a test message. And this will throw an error for me.
Ah, very nice.
It will tell you, hey, I didn't find any matching subscriptions, so your message is not going anywhere. And that is really, really powerful for customers because now they can know when they're in situations like this and it helps debugging.
Cool.
Now, if I go into my subscriptions, I can obviously create a new one. Test sub, create the default. By default, a subscription is true filter, which means it gets all messages. So now if I go back and just do a send test message again, notice it succeeds. Because
cool.
Now there is one particular subscription which is going to get that message. Let's look at that really quick. So I'm going to click on that subscription, refresh its properties. And notice how I have all the things which I need for debugging right here on my fingertips. I'm able to see that it has one active message. I can now see its sub-messages. So for example, if I want to see how many scheduled messages does this have, how many dead-lettered messages does this subscription have, all of those values are now available
nice.
To me. Also the same thing I talked about, the created at and last accessed at. So notice last accessed at is null here, because no one's ever even received a message from this subscription. I can fix that by doing an actual receive. It goes in, active message count goes back to zero, and access stat property is updated.
Cool.
So really, really good tools to help you debug. And these come in handy. So here, let me just quickly walk through my code. I've done a simple order submission, where all I'm going to do is convert order object and then do a send of the order object. In there. Really, really easy for me to go do that. I'm going to start debugging. Here I'm just simulating a point of sale application. I can buy some rocks. I can buy
some scissors.
Scissors and clouds, of course. Everyone wants nice. To buy clouds. And
it's very complicated. Like, does camera lens beat rock? I think rock beats camera lens, probably.
I hear you. Yes, so now I've just pinned the site on the left to be able to show you. Here I have the data collection topic, and if I go and look at its messages, I see I have one order message here already. So I'm going to right-click, and in my menu, I have a submit or a discard. So I'm going to choose submit order. Code goes through, and the way I can go check if it's working is go back to audit, refresh the count, and I see an active message count of 3 now. So I've submitted orders, my orders are showing up, and I'm seeing my messages come through.
Cool.
The same thing goes in terms of debugging your applications while you're running. You want to be able to send test messages to your application, receive them. All that is very, very easy.
Nice.
So some good improvements here. Close that. New features in SDK 1.8. So we have really taken a ton of feedback from customers and addressed a lot of the top asks which they had with this particular release. So I'll really call on customers to go out, take SDK 1.8 and give it a try. There are a lot of links included too, but I want to highlight some of the key features and then we'll follow up with more information on these. HTTPS support in connectivity mode. So one of the key features in service bus relay is that you can be sitting behind a firewall and then we will make an outbound connection and be able to talk to your service, you not having to open any inbound ports to your service bus. Now there's a crink in this is if you've got very old proxies which either don't support HTTP 1.1 chunked mode or on HTTP 1.0, they will wait for a lot more data to come through before they let the traffic through. So our initial connection used to fail because of that limitation in the proxies. Well, we've solved that, where now you can set your auto detect mode to HTTP or auto detect connectivity mode, and we'll actually use HTTPS because all of these proxies will let HTTPS traffic flow through without any chunking needed. So a really good improvement there. Connection status behavior, this is very useful in monitoring your WCF services. You can continuously see what state connections are in, if they are being faulted, if they are being dropped. And this was till now only supported in one of our one-way bindings, but now it's across the board supported in all of our bindings. I've got more details there, really a good feature add. Throughput improvements. So really, if you're using anything with large messages, like 10 MB sized messages for relay, where you're flowing a lot of data through, you'll see up to 10x throughput improvement for those messages coming through. So all you need to do is increase your connection buffer size and set allow output batching, and you can consume those benefits. Message lock renewal. So today, the general workflow is you get a message, you process it, and then you complete it or abandon it based on whether you succeed. Now, we only allow a 5 minutes of lock timeout, so that was a limitation for any long-running workflow. So we've added renew lock, which is a basic messaging pattern, where now you get a message, you have it for 5 minutes, or whatever the lock duration you've set it for, 30 seconds, 1 minute. And then after that, you make another call and renew your lease on the message. So let's say if you set your lock timeout for a minute, and you keep renewing your lease every 1 minute, you can keep the message for as long as you need it. But if your server goes away, like if your instances are no longer alive, within a minute, we'll detect that the lock is not renewed, put the message back, and it's available for processing.
Cool.
So some rich scenarios there. Queue-to-queue transfer. This I'm really excited about. There are a lot of rich messaging patterns and topologies that are now supported with this. You can think about scaling out, where today, let's say you have a topic with 2,000 subscriptions and what you really need is 10,000 subscriptions. Well, you can create a topic with 5 subscriptions, forward them to another 5 topics, and then create 2,000 subscriptions there.
Interesting.
So now you have this ability to create rich messaging flows where a single message sent will get found out, will get found out, and will get delivered to all the clients.
Interesting. And could you use this even to connect like cloud to on-prem queues or?
Right now, it's only within a namespace.
The scope is namespace.
It's not that particular scenario is not supported.
Is that even a thing that would? Is that something that would be useful? Or
absolutely, it will be.
Okay.
It will be the federation scenario, which I'm talking about right now, is exactly that.
Interesting.
It's just that today, when you span cloud and on-premise boundaries, your auth model can be different.
Yes.
So it can be a little challenging. You know, for example, this, since it's within a namespace, it makes sure it can check whether you have access rights on the receive end, access rights on the send end. And being able to do that in a federated way across premise and cloud is a few steps away. But we are working towards that. The other key scenario which we see is, let's say you have 5 customers, right? And you created a queue for them each. All of them are sending in requests. If you want to do in-order processing, that's fairly challenging because you have 5 queues to go check in which order did things come in. Well, now you can do a fan-in where you set forward 2 policies on all 5 into a single queue.
Ah.
And then your code is very simple where you just go through your 1 queue and you process all messages in order.
Cool.
You still get your permission isolation, right? Everyone got their own queue. They can't stomp on anyone else's throughput. But you have a single queue in which to go process things in order.
Hmm.
So if 10 messages from one customer came first, they show up in the destination first. Next came next, they show up there.
Interesting.
So it makes for very, very rich messaging scenarios, which you can enable now.
So how is this all done programmatically through the API to like connect these queues together? Or do I have like a drag and drop? I know there's not that, but is there something
tooling.
In the tooling where I can say forward to, or is it all done programmatically?
Right now it's all programmatic.
Okay.
And in fact, I've got an API sample here, so I want to show it to you really quick. So for any queue, you can just set a forward to property, which is the destination queue part.
Oh, okay.
And at that point, you just do the create queue or the update queue, and you're done.
Cool.
In there. So it's a very, very straightforward thing. One property on the queue, which is forward to. Same thing applies to topics and subscriptions. You can send from a queue and a subscription, and you can send to a queue and a topic.
Cool.
So all very symmetric and in there. Now, Nathan, I could go on this forever, but I know we're a little bit limited on time. So what we've done is we've created some additional videos with follow-up information, which really dive into deep details and give you a lot more information in there. I do want to call out, there's a bunch of information which we've got online too. For example, with the MQP, and we'll include links to this. We've got a full write-up on in terms of what is the MQP, why is it important, talk about all the different languages and libraries which are supported. The other part about the WinRT library, we have a very nice sample available, a lottery app which you can write. And it uses competing consumer to sort of show you how a queue can be useful in that scenario. And we've got a lot of information on our homepage talking about all the new items, including our build session and everything.
Cool.
So we'll include links there.
We'll put links for those, definitely.
Right. And do a follow up. And reach out to us. Any feedback, anything is appreciated
cool.
in there if you have questions.
Great. Well, lots of that's a whole bunch of new features. So that's very cool. Yeah, definitely some things that I remember from years ago when I was actually writing software instead of hosting TV shows, where some of those features would definitely come in useful. So yeah, some great stuff to see. So I assume you're planning next releases and continuing to add lots of functionality. So
absolutely.
We would definitely look forward to having you back on the show once again and seeing what keeps coming with Service Bus.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, I think we've about run up on time. So I think we'll probably, do you have a tip of the week just on the spot? We haven't done a tip of the week in a while.
Oh, wow. Tip of the week.
You don't have to have it. There was actually something that you were talking about earlier that I thought, oh, that'd be a good tip of the week. But now I forgot. So we're just going to have to skip it again. So awesome. But yeah, definitely check out. So you've got the right 2 videos, and I think you've got some more coming
right.
That go even further into detail on this. And we'll have all those links down there. So definitely check this out. And as always, follow us on Twitter at Cloud Cover Show. And your Twitter handle is just Abhishek Dwal.
Abhishek Arlal.
Arlal, that's right. Okay, so we'll put that down there also. And mine is Ntotten, of course. And so choose. So with that, I think we'll call it a day. So thank you very much for joining us again, and look forward to having you next time.
Thank you so much, Nate.
Cool.
Thank you.